Welcome to the Vacation Rental Success Podcast, produced by the Vacation Rental Formula Business School and the creators of the Thrive Training System. Thrive is the key to harnessing the power of your property management team by creating a culture based on trust, hospitality, and responsibility, all while fostering a vibrant work environment. If you want to find out how you can have your team powered by hot dogs, yes, I said hot dogs, then click on the link in the description of this episode to attend one of our weekly live information sessions. You have just found the way to make your business thrive. This episode is brought to you by the kind sponsorship from Lodgify. Lodgify is your all-in-one platform for effortlessly managing and scaling your short-term rental business, from easily publishing your own bookable website to managing all your day-to-day tasks in one place. Whether you're a seasoned host or just starting out, Lodgify simplifies your journey to building a thriving vacation rental business. With Lodgify, not only can you design a stunning website in minutes, but you can accept direct bookings and payments, sync your reservations across all major booking sites, and automate your workflows with tech-driven tools that help you save time while increasing your revenue. It's the smart way to grow your business. Keep your guests satisfied and enjoy what you do, so don't wait to elevate your vacation rental business. Click on the link in the description of this episode and visit Lodgify.com today to start your free trial. Now let's not delay. Let's get started. Here's your host, Heather Bayer.
Today's podcast comes from the CanStays Rental Alliance Conference in Banff, Alberta. And this interview is with the most northerly guest I've ever had. Ben Pereira is the founder of Neighbourly North, and you're going to hear what it's like to run a business in the Yukon and Northwest Territories. This is the Vacation Rental Success Podcast, keeping you up to date with news, views, information and resources on this rapidly changing short-term rental business. I'm your host, Heather Bayer, and with 25 years of experience in this industry, I'm making sure you know what's hot, what's not, what's new and what will help make your business a success. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the Vacation Rental Success Podcast. This is your host, Heather Bayer, and as ever, I am super delighted to be back with you once again. I'm recording this on day three of the CanStays Rental Alliance Conference, and it's been a unique couple of days. This is my first time in Banff, and it's really stunning here. There's mountains and snow and elk wandering along by the highway, and we had to stop this morning and let an elk and a baby elk cross the road. And you see them through the centre of town as well. It's really, really neat. And we've been hiking and taking in the scenery and really enjoying the beauty of this part of Canada. And of course, catching up with the greatest group of people. The discussions here are really different to what we normally expect at a conference, but so relevant and on point for the industry in Canada right now. The event kicked off with a panel of politicians. Well, two current federal MPs, and that's Chris Walkington and Andrew Scheer, and also Nathan Rotman representing Airbnb. And I was riveted by the conversation. Seriously, riveted. They were talking about advocacy and how to get involved, ways to connect with local politicians and how to present a point of view to them. Several audience members were invited to speak about their experience in advocacy in Canada. And the first was Ben Pereira of Neighbourly North. And that is Neighbourly with a U, if you're looking it up. We are Canadian, after all. I had to do a little research to find out more about this location. You know, I really admit I'm not strong on Canadian geography the more west I go. So for some context, before we head into the interview, here's what it says on the White Horse website. Surrounded by beautiful wilderness, the Yukon's capital is a small city with a big backyard. White Horse is the territory's travel hub, a must stop for those driving the Alaska Highway and the first taste of the Yukon for visitors arriving by air. Once here, the options really add up. Paddlers take to the historic Yukon River that flows through town. Hikers and mountain bikers access the hundreds of kilometres of trail. And adventurers climb into float planes on, Squatka Lake and fly off to wild, secluded places. I actually went into Google to see if I could find, you know, how you pronounce that. And I'm not going to say it again. And I'm sure Ben will correct me anyway. I'm sure I've got it wrong. But anyway. So there's many other situations that bring people into Whitehorse. that some of you may never have considered as being a niche market. So listen in as Ben talks about why his business has to be very, very flexible. He also shares why having a seat at the table of power is so important and that anyone can do this. So without further ado, let's go straight on over to my interview with Ben Pereira of Neighbourly North. Ben was the first person that Catherine Ratcliffe came to with a microphone in the audience and said, you know, tell us about what you do. And I was just blown away by what Ben is doing in the north of our country. So I wanted to bring him on the podcast and let him tell you for himself what he does and how he benefits so many people through his short-term rental property management company. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It really is a pleasure to be here in Banff at the conference and to meet with you and all these other lovely people in the short-term rental industry. It's actually my first industry conference I've ever attended. My company, Neighbourly North, of course, is based in northern Canada, and being so remote, we're a little bit isolated, I think, just being so far away from everything else that's happening. But this is, of course, a fantastic experience to learn and meet other people in the industry. And so for the listeners, I guess a little bit about my background. I'm a born and raised northern Canadian. My parents had met in Toronto and then moved to the West Coast and up to the Yukon Territory right before I was born, where I've lived practically my whole life, except for studying down south and working in Toronto for a couple of years before starting this business. And so today, Neighbourly North manages about 65 properties in the Whitehorse market and a handful in Yellowknife as well. And so my focus at Neighbourly North as the founder, CEO, president covers a few things. My days are spent working on driving sales, organizing all of the financial work for the company because my background is in finance, accounting, so on and so forth. And then a lot of these leadership advocacy efforts that we've been a part of over the past few years. And so I guess I kind of got involved by accident, almost. Everything for me in the advocacy work that we do, I guess, sort of began with my local chamber of commerce. And so when I had first started the business, something that we had done, because probably a year before I started Neighbourly North, the first time a city councillor had ever said, we should regulate Airbnb as a means to increase the availability and affordability of long-term rentals in Whitehorse. And so naturally, when I started the business, I just had some questions that I'd like answered. And so I met with all of the city councillors and the mayor individually one-on-one and just learn a little bit about them and you know, what they hope to accomplish as politicians and understand their views on short-term rentals. Northern Canada is vast. It's massive. The Yukon Territory is larger than a lot of European countries, but there's only about 45,000 people living there, same as the Northwest Territories and Nunavut. And so these are small towns that people are attracted to visiting for a number of reasons. I think it's a combination of nature tourism, people really interested in the rich history of the Yukon, whether that's the Klondike Gold Rush that a lot of people are familiar with, or more recently, people learning about the culture and traditions of the indigenous population. And so, yeah, it's an interesting market that's a combination of transient leisure and a lot of corporate travel as well that we're serving.
So when you were talking yesterday, you were talking about not so much medical tourism, but people coming into Whitehorse to get medical treatment. And one part of it that particularly intrigued me, that I went on your website and you have a childbirth discount. And I don't think anybody operating a property management company in the US offers a childbirth discount. If you do out there, let me know. But I want to hear from Ben what that actually means and what it means to people who are coming to, I guess, take this childbirth discount. What does it mean?
Certainly, yeah. So the childbirth discount is something that one of our employees actually came up with because they recognized that this was a recurring customer profile that had a really unique set of needs. And I think that our vacation rental market didn't really exist in the North prior to Airbnb as it might in some places in the United States or Europe or Canada. And so our product is a substantially better fit for somebody who is going to be bringing medical escorts with them, because having a complex medical intervention requires support. You know, they're typically trying to keep the family unit with them. And of course, staying for a month in a hotel room is just not suitable for anybody's mental or physical health. And so We recognized that we were solving a really substantial problem for a unique customer profile. And in the North, in Canada, we have universal health care, right? But in the North of Canada, it's difficult for everybody to access health care, especially if they live outside of the capital city, Whitehorse. And so we have about 10,000 people living outside of the capital that are coming to Whitehorse for everything from births, surgeries, and also just getting their hearing checked and things like that. And so medical travel to the capital is something that we focused on and something that we just wanted to serve the community with by passing on as much value as possible, as much flexibility as possible, and just kind of supporting local. And we do that through a number of unique rate schemes, but the medical birth rate is just capped for all of our properties every night of the year at $166 a night, which is deep, deep value for these local families that we want to support. We also offer them additional flexibility. And so whenever they want to leave, they get refunded all of the unused nights. And so we're essentially just trying to support these people much greater than our typical customer, because we recognize that what they're going through is stressful, it's emotional, and we've always tried to just look after the locals as much as possible.
So question for you on that. It's not as though people can say, I mean, do they have their birth date set in advance? Or are they just calling up and saying, my wife's gone into labour, I've got to bring her into Whitehorse to get her into hospital? It sounds like it's a completely different system. You know, if you're having a baby, then you've got to plan this in advance to get there, to get to the medical facility before that event happens.
Yeah, under ideal circumstance, you do have quite a bit of time to prepare. And so for these individuals that are living in really remote rural communities outside of the capital, their physician will require them to arrive in the capital city several weeks before they give birth. But of course, the timeline is uncertain, which is why we kind of cater to that with the added flexibility. But yeah, we're typically serving people for 2, 3, 4 weeks, which is attractive and enables us to pass on that additional value.
It makes the concept of early check-in and late check-out a little bit different. Yeah. So apart from people coming in for their medical requirements, I think you mentioned sporting events as well. So tell me about that, because that's, you know, that's an entirely different sector of the public.
Yeah, of course. And so we work with a governance body for sport locally in the Yukon called Sport Yukon, and they have an individual there who manages the file for sport tourism. And so because we're in the North, we have an earlier winter than a lot of other places across the country. A lot of the country's best skiers and snowboarders will come up to Whitehorse for preseason training at the ski hill, so they can start their season a little bit earlier. We have a lot of people visiting the territory to do mountain biking and a whole host of really interesting local within the country sporting events. And then a lot of international visitors arriving for some of these more extreme kind of competitions that we have, ultra marathons, canoe races that last several days. And so sport tourism is in charge of trying to promote as much of that as they possibly can. And we've just found that our properties are certainly the best product on the market for them, allowing teams to stay together in a single property, allowing teams to prepare their own meals like they would never be able to in a hotel setting. And of course, having that extra garage space and storage space to put their bikes or wax their skis and snowboards. And so the sport tourism market is something that we focus on.
Do you also partner with emergency managers and management organizations close by?
Yeah, well, the business has only been around for about 4 years, but effectively, whenever emergencies have happened, we've gotten involved. And something I spoke about a little bit yesterday morning was how Neighbourly North responded to wildfire evacuations, both in the Yukon Territory and the Northwest Territories last summer. And it was kind of an opposite event in either market, because people got evacuated from remote and rural indigenous communities in the Yukon Territory, and they had to come to the capital, where we have our inventory. And the opposite happened in Yellowknife, where people got evacuated from the capital, where we have our inventory, and emergency response workers moved in to deal with the response and the recovery effort.
It sounds like you have to be really flexible. You know, with your sporting events, you probably get that booked well in advance. You know when people are coming in. But with emergency management and the medical side of it, the medical, I keep wanting to say medical tourism, but it's not medical tourism. It's people coming in for medical events. Yeah. That's not necessarily as set in stone as to when they're coming. So how do you deal with all that flexibility?
Yeah, I guess we just lean into scale being our superpower. You know, we're able to make things happen by shuffling the availability of our properties around and prioritizing our local kind of VIP customers who have the greatest needs. And something else that I can speak to, of course, kind of within the world of emergencies, is what we call emergency housing. And so emergency housing for us is this really interesting focus on a problem that I didn't even perceive in the market when I first started the company. And that's that, unfortunately, in the child welfare system in Canada, and in particular in Northern Canada, there's a lot of children growing up in hotel rooms because when they enter the system, there's no sort of residential place for them to live provisionally. And so we've partnered with our territorial governments, Department of Family and Child Services, and many local First Nations in the Yukon Territory, coordinated by the Council of Yukon First Nations, to provide on-demand emergency provisional housing to a whole host of different families with children under vastly different challenging circumstances, to try to support them with a product that gives them dignity and privacy and supports their mental and physical health, opposed to being jammed into a hotel room.
That's amazing. It's an entirely different model, I think, to any I've heard before.
I'm going to take a short break just now to hear about our sponsor. We're going to be right back with more from this great interview in just a few moments. So I'm glad to be back here again with Dennis Klett from Lodgify. Dennis, I'd like to ask you what Lodgify offers that stands it apart from the competitors, because there are so many now in this industry.
I would say overall it's the comprehensiveness of our feature set. We're really a true all-in-one software, but it's also especially the ease of use and the pricing point that we have. And that's primarily because our main customers are individual hosts or small property managers with anything around 1 to 20 rentals. And competition very much overlooks this type of customer segment, but for us, it's our core customers. So that's why the ease of use and the price point is so important to us. Then I think if we go feature by feature, our website builder, I think, is the most comprehensive website builder on the market. It's completely done in-house, and so meaning it's seamlessly integrated to your reservation system. We're really putting the direct bookings at the center of our platform. We have an entire team just working on building the website for you, while our competitors use third-party systems, and it's not at their core. With regards to the channel management, we have obtained the highest partner status with Airbnb and Vrbo. We're an elite partner with Vrbo. We're a preferred plus partner with Airbnb. We're one of the few players who are connected to Google Vacation Rentals, which is a fantastic way to generate more direct bookings. We have a full content sync, so we synchronize everything to those platforms. And we're also connected to Booking.com, which is especially important in the United States, and it's up-and-coming booking platform over there. And with regards to the property management system, it's really the ease of use, the level of automation that we provide, everything in a super easy-to-use mobile native app, where you can really manage your entire short-term rental business from your palm. And we have a fantastic customer service. So yes, it is a self-service software, but whenever you have any questions, we have a support team that you can email, phone, chat 24/7 during weekdays, and we have a free onboarding to get you up and running.
That is great. I've heard about your customer service. I've had some testimonials from people to say how that service is so great.
I want to step back now to advocacy and where we started this conversation, really, because regulations are creeping in everywhere. And obviously, as you've just said earlier on, they are coming to you as well. How are you managing that?
Yeah, so advocacy is something that we try to be as proactive about as possible. But oftentimes with the political cycle and the media cycle, we don't always know when we're going to be called to action in that front. But we're handling advocacy at the municipal level, I would say primarily, and then at the territorial level. And for any American listeners, that's the equivalent of like the state level. And so over the past couple of years, I've just kind of got to know everybody, the mayor, all the city councilors, the premier, the leader of the official opposition, and all of our members of the Legislative Assembly. And I guess the place that first started was at the Chamber of Commerce, the Whitehorse Chamber of Commerce. And I think it's probably an option for a lot of listeners living in smaller markets outside of like the big urban city centers, where there's these sort of volunteer positions and there's never enough interest in those positions. You know, they're practically begging people to join the Chamber of Commerce and be a volunteer director, right? And so me being in the housing space and wanting to participate and be aware of all of the initiatives that the government was pushing to increase the supply of housing stock and try to solve housing problems generally, which we always felt, you know, we had a really unique approach to solving some of these traditional problems. And so via the Whitehorse Chamber of Commerce, I eventually began chairing the housing committee and getting invited to a lot of private working groups. And so when it comes to advocating for short-term rentals, I'm fortunately in the room in a lot of these private engagements that both municipal and territorial governments establish with diverse members of the community before they become public engagements. And so at the city level, the city of Whitehorse approximately a year ago completed their official community plan, which is the highest level planning document for a municipality in the country. And from that, it sort of guides and influences the zoning bylaw and the business license bylaw, where you'll see those really specific short-term rental regulations. And so they recently began the zoning bylaw review. And via my position as chair of the housing committee at the Whitehorse Chamber of Commerce, I've been in the room to essentially hear what people in the community are talking about, provide ideas to the top bureaucrats that are kind of just curating and preparing these sort of ideas that then go forward to the elected officials and for the public engagement process. Same thing to be said at the territorial level. I was able to participate in the private side of the review of the landlord and tenant legislation, which is different. Well, it essentially governs how landlords and tenants can contract with each other. And it covers the common, I guess, conflicts that landlords and tenants may have. And short-term rentals are specifically excluded from that, as are hotels, as are our different forms of non-standard housing. And of course, that was an opportunity for the territorial government to regulate short-term rentals. But by being in the room, by promoting good, reliable information by decision making and sort of debunking some of these myths that come up. You know, is Airbnb bad? Is it contributing to increased rents or the decreased availability of housing? Of course, we know that's not the case, but those headlines are out there. And so general members of the public who are not experts, you know, they might not know that. And so by being in the room in all of these different settings, I think I've been able to advocate for, of course, the homeowners who have trusted Neighbourly North to manage their property, and also all of the independent Airbnb hosts.
Just coming back to your homeowners, as you say, they're trusting you to manage their property. Where are they when you're managing their property? Are they, I can't imagine they're second homeowners, but maybe they are.
Yeah, well, they're virtually all local Yukon families with a single investment property, or it's their primary home that they're not using for, you know, maybe 6 months to a year and a half as they go on like an extended vacation or some reason why their property becomes available, but they couldn't possibly rent it long term. And short term rentals are just a fundamentally better solution for them. In addition to local families who have a secondary dwelling on site that they need to use occasionally in perpetuity for, you know, visiting friends, family, staff, whatever it might be, again, making it impossible for them to rent long-term. And so, yeah, we're constantly hunting to find those really perfect situations to get the right sort of supply. But it is a mix of, I guess, primary homes, secondary dwellings that cannot be rented long-term, and then investment properties as well.
So you talked about being in the room, and I think that was the big message from the panel yesterday, was that you have to be in the room. And I was talking to Philippe Pichette from Chalets Huger in Orford in Quebec, and he goes to every single council meeting, regardless of whether they've got short-term rentals on the docket or not. He is going to be there, and he says it's infinitely boring, but he will be there when somebody gets in there and makes a complaint about short-term rentals. He is that voice in the room. So it sounds to me you've really got yourself in that position where you are that voice advocating for this business, which I think is absolutely wonderful. I love what you're doing. I'd like to hear, you say this is your first conference. What have you enjoyed most about it? And, you know, what are you taking back with you to Whitehorse?
Yeah, well, there's a lot to be enjoyed, and I think I'll definitely be back next year. And I think I'll be looking at a lot of other conferences throughout the year, either outside of Canada or elsewhere, because it's just been amazing to connect with all of these personalities I've known through Zoom or LinkedIn over the past couple of years. And that in-person relationship building is really rewarding. It's really gratifying. And I think it's important to come together as an industry just for that. But secondarily, I think just learning from people like Philippe Pichet and Carrie Gibson, who are truly excellent, like the gold standard of, I think, like representing the short-term rental community in your home market, and many others who are doing great work. And then, of course, just learning about best practices from the industry and seeing a lot of the interesting projects that people are working on.
Well, it's been absolutely such a pleasure to meet you, and I'm sure we'll talk again, because, you know, I think what you're doing is so admirable and different. It's different to what, you know, I'm talking to people every week, and we're generally talking about the same things, about vacation rental. And there was a panel, in fact, at the Verma conference in Orlando, that opened the conference last fall, and the topic was, what should we call ourselves, vacation rentals or short-term rentals? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, there's an argument about that, about A, whether that should have been the opening part of the Verma conference, and secondly, does it matter? But, you know, I'm interested in what you call yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked, because I think the terminology is important. And so we've started using the term short-term housing. Short-term housing, while demonized some of the times from certain politicians, it's still housing. And so there's these ideas out there that, you know, one short-term rental has taken away a home from a prospective long-term rental. And while that may technically be true in some cases, it then becomes a home to so many more people. And so I like to call the industry short-term housing. I'm going to put that out there. We'll see if anybody else likes it. And I think that we should also start referring to ourselves as housing providers. You know, we're not landlords. We are, you know, niche in the short-term rental industry, but I think as an industry, we should be calling ourselves short-term housing providers, because it is essential. The customers love the product. I think it's universally helpful to so many, bad for nobody. And I think that the terms in which we refer to ourselves are important for communicating that.
Yeah, I think there's going to be an ongoing debate. Ongoing, it may go on for a long time. Ben, it's been an absolute pleasure having you with me. Thank you so much for taking the time out. For those of you listening, you might hear some little noises in the background. We're right in the middle of the conference here, so we found ourselves a little niche at the back. But I've had such an enjoyable conversation with you, and thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you, Ben, for joining me. That was the most interesting discussion. It's really inspired me to start to talk to more property managers that have really unique companies and unique ways of managing their businesses. This was so enlightening. He's inspired me to go to, I really want to go to the Yukon now. It's something I never thought of before, but having read the description from the White Horse website about what White Horse is about and what the Yukon's about, I thought, yeah, that could be a new destination. But anyway, we are at the end of the Canstays Rental Alliance conference, and it was really, really good. Very different from conferences I've been to in the past. I mean, there were education sessions, there was an exhibition hall, and there was great food. You know, that's what you normally get. But the content was pretty much skewed to the Canadian market, which was great. But there were a lot of politicians milling around and being very open and willing to talk. And I had some really good conversations, and particularly about advocacy. And we're all facing regulations wherever we are. And across Canada, it's of particular importance because I've mentioned before the issue that's happened in British Columbia. I'm not going to go back into that, but you know, all the different provinces have different ways of managing regulations. And it's time we got everybody in the same room and started talking about how we can all do something together. But to actually get the politicians in the room as well, now that was genius on Catherine Ratcliffe's behalf. These people have gone away now with a really new perspective on the short-term rental industry in Canada, in their own backyard. They're not going to learn that from going to any other conference. And in fact, none of them would even think about going to any other conference. So for Catherine to bring them in like that was, as I say, it was genius. We are moving on from here to do something more with the Canstays Rental Alliance. We can't stop here. We can't say that's a once and done thing. You know, that was great. See you sometime. But no, Catherine's closing message was, we'll see you next year. We'll do this again. We'll do this better. We'll do this in another amazing Canadian location. And already, you know, that one's on my list to make sure that we get to next year. I would have liked to have seen so many more Canadians at this summit. There were a lot from Western Canada, but nowhere near as many, in fact, very few, from the east of the country. Apart from a wonderful contingent from Quebec. And I wasn't going to mention any names because, you know, usually I start mentioning names of people I've met and somebody gets left out, etc., etc. But I want to call out the group from Quebec, and that's Philippe Bichette and Kerry Gibson from Chalets Huger, John Papakonstantinou. Mike's calling him John Alphabet because he thinks there's too many letters in his name. And Danny and Olivier from We Chalet. You've heard from Kerry and Philippe, Kerry on the podcast before. I'm hoping to get John and Danny on the podcast as well at some time in the future, so watch out for that. But it was fantastic to have those representatives from Quebec. And they're all good friends, so I wanted to mention them. And of course, I have to mention the two-hour session this morning delivered by Justin Ford on safety. I was blown away by that presentation. I could have sat in that room for the whole day listening to Justin talk about different elements of safety in vacation rentals. But his presentation was just stupendous. I can't say better than that, really. I talked to so many people after who were sat there almost stunned by what he'd been talking about, and people with pages and pages and pages of notes. This was a two-hour boot camp, so, you know, it did require a few notes to take it all in. It's really made me think once again about cottage rental safety, which is something that Mike and I were involved in a few years ago, and it sort of fell by the wayside, but that sort of inspired us to maybe pick that back up again. There's so many areas where I think we all fall down on safety. It is still Breezeways International Safety Month. If you follow Justin on LinkedIn, you can go back and have a look at all those posts that he's written over the month. They really are worth following. Okay, I'm sort of conferenced out right now. It's been 3 days. I'm ready to head back to Toronto tomorrow, and we'll be getting back to the work we're doing on our Thrive Learning System, which we'll be launching with our pilot group in a few weeks' time. Very excited about that. I'm going to spend time in a studio, in a real film studio, on Monday, where we'll be filming some of the elements of the courses we're doing. So more about that in due course. But for now, thank you for listening. I hope that Ben's story, particularly when he's talking about being the voice in the room, I hope that's had some impact on you, and you will think about going out to be the voice in your room. Thanks for listening. Oh, of course, if you want to get a hold of me, I kept saying this to people, if you want to get a hold of me, my email address is heather@vacationrentalformula.com. Please send me an email. If you've got a story to tell, you'd like to come on the podcast and you want to tell your story, and, you know, it's really unique, it's interesting, let me know. I would love to hear from you. So on that note, I will close now, and I will be with you again next week.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Remember, if you want more information about the Thrive Training System, you need to attend one of our weekly live information sessions. Click on the link in the description to secure your spot. Thrive is the perfect training to supercharge your existing property management team and onboard your employees in the best way possible. This episode was brought to you by Lodgify, the all-in-one solution that will help you start, manage, and grow your short-term rental business. Click the link in the episode description or visit Lodgify.com today to start your free trial.
It's been a pleasure as ever being with you. If there's anything you'd like to comment on, then join the conversation on the show notes for the episode at vacationrentalformula.com. We'd love to hear from you, and I look forward to being with you again next week.